Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 98, The E3 Hangover.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
And be seated and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Mr. Cuse.
And Bill.
And we're back after a little bit of a couple week hiatus because I was busy conquering Los Angeles.
Battle of Los Angeles.
And unfortunately, he ran to Kobe and Kobe said, "This is my town, bitch."
Oh, please. I saw Kobe at E3. He wasn't that tall.
He wears elevator shoes.
That's where my goldfish went.
But anyway, I saw a lot of amazing things at E3 this year, and did a lot of drinking. My liver hates me right now.
You have a liver?
I do have a liver.
I don't think I was born with one.
Have you ever had like a whiskey shower?
A whiskey sour.
Yeah, is that whiskey sour? Dude, like I said, I am still recovering from the event, dude.
I would really love to take a whiskey shower.
But dude, I'm still recovering from there, and I'm telling you about this restaurant that was literally right there at E3 called the Yard House. Five times better than Salem Beer Works. Just unbelievable food,
really?
Unbelievable booze, and I can't wait to go back just to eat that place.
I don't know. I think the Purple Shamrock for good food any day.
Well, yes, Purple Shamrock is good when you're in Boston. When you're in LA,
what kind of food did you have there at King Baby Dine?
The thing is with conventions is it is impossible to eat healthy. So my diet consisted of burgers, pizza, pasta, and more booze.
Okay. Alright.
See, you live the convention the wrong way.
You're supposed to.
No, booze is supposed to be first, followed by everything else.
Mm.
Your appetizer needs to be something to chase the first thing you wanted to drink.
Yep. But anyway, I saw a lot of things. I'm going to be writing a shit ton of articles on what I saw because, unfortunately, where I was, there was practically no internet connection whatsoever, so I couldn't do anything on site.
LA doesn't have internet connection. Must have been all the celebrities tweeting.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was like I had a 28.8 modem in that
Ooh.
Place.
I don't know much about computers, but I know how bad that is.
Yep. It's that bad. Because just imagine, okay, you're typing okay, you've got this whole article set up, you go to save draft, and it takes 30 minutes for it to save.
That's it? Could be worse.
How could it be worse than that?
It could take an hour.
2 hours.
The entire week.
The entire month.
Entire year.
We get it. But anyway, instead of going all out crazy with the stuff that I saw at E3, I figured I'd do a top 10 list because if I had done everything, I would have taken up the whole show. It would be unfair to the both of you and to the missing Bluonic.
And, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of other stuff to report on that's, you know, really important as well.
Right.
So
what I have here, I've got a top 10 list of things that impressed me the most. Now, before I begin, Let me just make things clear that aren't on the list. Gears of War 3 isn't on this list. Modern Warfare 3 isn't on this list. The PlayStation Vita isn't on this list.
I need to ask you, did my video game make the list?
Yes, this one did make the list.
Wait,
Which one are you thinking about?
You'll know when I say it. It's at number 8.
No, wrong one. I can see the list from here. It's the wrong one.
Oh. But no, it's one of yours.
Yes. But I meant the other one.
Oh.
Didn't make the list?
Nah, didn't make the list. It wasn't as impressive as what I as all the other stuff I saw. But the reason why I didn't put, you know, Gears of War 3 or Modern Warfare 3 on this list is because all I really saw of those were trailers. I didn't see any like in-game demonstrations or play demos of stuff. All I saw was the trailers. Mind you, the trailer for Modern Warfare 3 was impressive. What they did was, at the Activision booth, they had like screens everywhere, and it was practically a 360-degree trailer. Now, what that means is, if something's driving in the front, it'll go past you, and it'll be on the screen on the other side. Like, I don't know how they managed to do this, but somehow, well, first off, how they perfectly synced it was amazing, and second, how they were able to capture it all was just nothing short of phenomenal.
Now, not to pull too much off, but would you recommend my game?
Which game is it?
The new Metal Gear Solid.
The thing is, the one that you're thinking of, the other one that you're thinking of, it wasn't being showcased. They had Peace Walker HD version, but it wasn't there. But the other one wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Which one was that one called? I'm like drawing a blank. Like,
yeah, because I know, you know, it's
from Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because, you know, I really want to get a chance to, you know, try that game. Maybe,
right.
Maybe I could try contacting them and see if maybe they can help us out.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it hasn't, yeah, it's coming out in 2012, but there really wasn't much there regarding it. They had the new, like I said, they had the new Peace Walker redo, which is going to be out for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Mm.
And it will have Solid Snake in it. The other one has a Raiden in it.
Okay, well, you'll like both of them.
Right.
I mean, Solid Snake, he is the classic, but Raiden did a good job while he did his, you know, his ones.
Right.
As long as they don't try to come up with a new character, I think it's all good.
Yep.
Because, you know, personally, I was kind of disappointed when Raiden first showed up. I'm like, really? This is not what I wanted? But then Solid Snake popped his way in. I'm like,
yes. Yep.
But you kind of thought, like, you know, he wouldn't be around too much longer just because of the whole way they made him look in that episode, or in that game.
Right.
But they still bring him back. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one, Peace Walker, it's being released in November of this year. So, you don't have to wait too long to play another Solid Snake game, because this is the one that came out last year on PSP,
mm-hmm.
but seeing as none of us really owns a PSP, we couldn't really play it.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go out and get that video game.
Mm-hmm. They had that, but like I said, they didn't have Rising there for some reason. They had the new Silent Hill game there, too, and it was okay. There were just a few bugs in the area that made it look, it didn't look on par to what the Silent Hill series, you know, deserves.
Exactly. Silent Hill series deserves some great stuff because they're great.
Right. It's a, it was in, what was it? It was in pre-alpha state.
But
the issue I have, though, is that it's due out this fall.
Ooh.
And this is, and if this is what it's going to be looking like in the right now, and with the fall coming in just a couple months, I'm worried that they're not going to be able to finish it on time. And they're either going to have to push it back, or they're just going to really release a very buggy, crappy-looking game.
And that's never stopped some of these places before.
It hasn't. It's sad, but it hasn't. But anyway, I've got my top 10 list. And I figured, what the hell, let me start out with number 10 of the things that impressed me the most, whether it be games or, you know, technological advancements or add-ons. And number 10 is an add-on for Kinect called the Nyko Zoom. And I actually have a picture of it right here on a magazine. Now, what this is it snaps onto your Kinect system and increases the Kinect's field of view by 40%. Now, what this means is you can now play the Kinect when you don't have as much room as the 4x4 needed when you play it. So, if you have
only about 2.5 feet each.
Just from what I heard, it narrows it down to about 3 feet. But, you know, that's still a lot smaller than what you needed.
Okay.
And there is a release date for this in August, and it's going to be $29.99 when it comes out, which isn't too bad for what it does.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, if you don't have enough room in your place for the Kinect. All right, now, number nine is a returning favorite, a game that they thought would never get a sequel, but was announced for 3DS late 2011, Luigi's Mansion 2.
No.
The gameplay is very similar in vein to the GameCube version, and they had added it's like a zap feature, which is used when you battle ghosts, so you zap them so it doesn't take as long to suck them up, which was a big issue I had with the original Luigi's Mansion. It took a long time to suck up the ghosts up with the vacuum, and it took twice or three times as long to deal with the boss battles. I remember this one boss battle that took me like almost 7 months for me to figure out properly because of how difficult it was. So I'm glad that they were managed to fix that. The graphics look really good. I feel like it's somewhere in between the GameCube and Wii graphics. And the 3D aspect of it is very well done. And it doesn't strain the eyes when you watch it.
Hmm.
Because I've noticed that with a couple games. Like when I was playing Frogger on 3D at E3, I noticed my eyes were kind of straining while playing that game. So I'm glad that they managed to be able to create a 3D feature for Luigi's Mansion 2 without the strain on the eyes. Number 8 on my list is UFC Undisputed 3.
Dum, dum, dum.
There's going to be new weight options, new divisions, 150 fighters from both UFC and Pride Fighting Championship.
Hmm.
And when you do the Pride Fighting, it's going to be the more classic MMA-based sort of fighting, not like the more current rules and regulations type. So, like, when you watch those old classic Pride fights, that's the sort of feel that you're going to get when you play that section of the game. There's also going to be an in-game advice system, which is good if you're stuck in a submission and you need to get out of it, or if you're trying to figure out a proper headlock or any other sort of maneuver.
Hmm.
And they do have a new submission system, because if you remember in UFC Undisputed 2010, it was so difficult to submit someone in that game. I don't know if he had the issue that I did with it.
I would just pound him out. I didn't go for submission, so...
Right. Because it felt much easier to do that than to try to submit them. And it was really difficult for me to do that. Even when they did the tutorials, it was so hard to try to submit them. But fortunately, fortunately, they have fixed that problem in here. Not to mention, they use the motion capture system in order to really showcase what a true feeling of the MMA fighting is when you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
It took almost 5 years for this game to be made.
Hmm. Wonder why.
Well, they needed to get the technology down pat. Because if you notice in UFC Undisputed 2009 and 2010, you notice that there were a couple of, you know, issues here and there graphically and such. And gameplay-wise, like I mentioned with the submission. But here, it looks like that they were really focused on giving you the best MMA fighting experience in a video game.
Nice.
And I did want to mention, too, I did try out the UFC trainer game. And it measures all your movements perfectly.
Hmm.
Like, it knew exact... So you know when you have to, like, hit the gloves, you go left, right, left, right... Yep. And knew exactly which fist that you were throwing. So if they call right and you throw left, it doesn't count.
Hmm.
So kudos to them for working on that as well. Number 7 on my list is the video game Catherine. Now this is a game I've been watching for almost a year. It's a puzzle-based game where you need to climb to the top to get out of your nightmare or face death. And the difficulty of the level is decided on morality questions. Specifically on relationship questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you prefer older women or younger women? That sort of thing. So, and it's hard because it's such an open-ended question. It's like, how old, how young? Because if you choose younger, all the difficulty level is going to spike on you.
Oh, nice. I like that.
So there are some, I want to say, like, dating simulation elements, which will help your game, which, if your morality is good, then the levels won't be as difficult. If it hinders it, you're screwed. And what it is you gotta, like, by climbing to the top, you gotta pull up boxes and do, like, a little staircase thing. And as you're going up, there's a bit of a timer where the bottom starts falling and disappearing and disappearing and disappearing. If you don't reach the top on time, you're gonna plummet to your death. And it has this, like, anime-esque look with, actual animation from Studio 4 Degrees Celsius. Now, these are the same guys who did the Linkin Park video Breaking the Habit, the Animatrix Kids Story, and the upcoming Thundercats anime. Lord. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Dude, you remember the Thundercats.
I remember the Thundercats.
Good times, weren't they?
I'm reading.
He has no comment on the Thundercats. So, moving on, with number 6... This is a game that I did write a review on, Payday the Heist. This is a first-person shooter for PlayStation Network and PC, where you rob banks in a similar fashion to Heat, Point Break, Inside Man, and the opening to The Dark Knight. You can take hostages, burn through vaults, battle cops and SWAT teams. And what's interesting about this game, too, is it has a difficulty spike if you accidentally kill someone who is innocent. You know, if you accidentally kill one of the hostages, like, 3 times as many cops and SWAT people are going to come in and swarm you. Hmm. Now, the main game will have 6 main levels, but also co-op and online multiplayer. And while that doesn't sound like a lot, the 6 main levels are going to have a different experience each time you play it. Mm-hmm. So, one time, the cops will come out of this door, and then you might be ready for them the next time around. All of a sudden, wait, they're coming out the right side. Oh my god, they're coming down from the roof! And each level lasts approximately 30 minutes. So you'll at least get, with the first run through, at least a 3 hour playthrough with the game. If all the levels are similar to the first one, but I doubt it. I reckon that each level is going to become more difficult and difficult and difficult. And you're going to need to use more tactics in order to, you know, get through what's going on. The game is going to be released in 2011. No official release date yet. So, hopefully, when the official game comes out, it's going to be as great as the demo was when I played at E3. Now, number 5 on my list is Metro Last Light. And this is a sequel to Metro 2033. And you need to use the darkness to get through tough areas and take down your enemies. And it's one of the best looking games, if not the most gorgeous game I've ever seen. And it really pushes the boundaries for what developers can create. I wouldn't say that everyone looks real, but it's pretty damn close as to how realistic this game is. Mm-hmm. Like, so much detail went into the preview that we saw. And hopefully, when it comes out in 2012... we'll get the exact same experience that I saw at E3. Now, number 4 on my list is a game called Rise of Nightmares, and it's from Sega, the same folks that brought us House of the Dead. And this is the first ever survival horror free-roaming Melee Kinect title, mm-hmm. where you need to save your wife and escape from an evil doctor's dungeon. So it's kind of got, like, this sort of hostile type of feel to it.
Yeah.
And you've also got to, like, battle some of the most nastiest-looking zombies I've ever seen. They're, like, hollowed out, looking mechanical, and it's just looking really, really badass and scary as hell. And what's good about this game is the Kinect, it reads all your movements, no problem. You move your foot front forward to move forward. You step back to move backwards. You twist to turn. And then you swing your arms around the melee, and you either punch, or if you have a weapon in your possession, you can basically beat up zombies. And it is unbelievable. I have a feeling that this is the game that we've been waiting for when Kinect was announced. This is what we've been wanting from Kinect. This whole free roaming type of feel, not like the sides, not like the what's it called, the rail shooters, which are okay, but it seems like Kinect is just only rail shooters or pet games or sports games. And there really hasn't been anything really pushed out with action-based. Okay, now number three on my list of things that I saw at E3 that really blew me away was Twisted Metal. I finally got to play the demo for this. Multiplayer mode is amazing. So you can drive a Sweet Tooth. I want to call it the meat machine, but it's basically the Ghostbusters vehicle. And it was so much fun. You could blow people up when you're like different missiles depending on what you're driving. What is the heat seeking or not heat seeking? What was the other one? The type of missile that follows people, like it locks them all, a lock on missile.
I forget what it's called.
I know you're talking about.
I mean, different games call it different things. That's why.
Right. Well, the one that I was driving had a dude in a wheelchair on a rocket. So you shot like people on rockets into other cars, and you just watched them blow up.
I don't find that funny.
Dude, didn't you used to play Twisted Metal when you were younger?
Yep.
So this should excite you, dude.
Yeah, but I don't know about launching people in wheelchairs.
When one blows up, hey, it's the same guy. He appears out of nowhere. Just think he's a magician.
Hmm.
We loved this demo. Other players had an amazing time playing it. We wanted to buy the demo after it was all done. It's nitty, it's gritty, it's tons of fun. Release date is October, and it's going to be phenomenal.
Why didn't you buy the demo? They weren't selling it?
What?
Were they not selling the demo?
No.
Oh.
We wanted to buy it. That's how good of a demo it was. Now, number two on my list is Saints Row the Third, the latest in the Grand Theft Auto Killer series. And what I mean by that is, it's if anyone's ever played Grand Theft Auto 4 and then played Saints Row 2, they'll know that you do a lot more in Saints Row 2 than in Grand Theft Auto 4. Saints Row 2 was far more superior to that. So Saints Row the Third just like blew our minds away. We were laughing our asses off watching this trailer. Well, it wasn't a trailer. It was like we got to see some of the gameplay of it. And you can basically do anything in the title. You can hurt people in the balls in hundreds of ways. Like, you can punch them, kick them, take your gun and, like, whack them the balls with them. You can beat up homeless people with giant purple dildos. You can call in airstrikes against rival gangs. Yeah, you heard me right. Giant purple dildos.
I'm just thinking of Moshe.
You can have your character roam the streets naked. You can shoot pedestrians out of your cannonmobile. You can fly like a jet around the city and like heat up like cars and people with your microwave rays and just watch them blow up. There's the Apocalypse where you punch someone and they just explode. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, man. That is just the tip of the iceberg of what you can do in this game. It is just unbelievable what they managed to come up with this. And when it comes out November 15th, I'm going to pre-order this game. It looks so good. 10 times better than Saints Row 2, which I thought was impossible. It was just an all-out fun-looking game. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play because they didn't have the demo on the floor, but from what we saw in that video demonstration, and it was a live demonstration, like the dude from THQ was playing it live for us, like right next to us with the controller, and it was looking really good. And I think this might be one of the best titles to come out this year, if not the best title to come out. Alright, so people can probably figure out what number one is on my list, because it's probably the thing that everyone's talking about. Number one on my list is the new Nintendo system, the Wii U. It's a controller, and it's its controller looks like a regular controller with a tablet. It's touchscreen, it's HD, it's got perfect one-on-one sync with the television, and the controller can also be used as a separate TV if needed. Say if I'm playing the Wii U, and you come in and say, I want to watch sports. Well, you can put on the sports, and then I can just continue to play my game on the screen on there. So I wouldn't be interrupting the sports.
Hmm. Interesting.
At E3, I managed to check out almost all the demos on there. Ghost Recon Online, while still in its alpha stage, looks really good. And what you can do with the screen is you can turn and look at the map. You can call in your support. You can choose your weapons and ammo and upgrades and such on the screen. You can find out where, like, the where your enemies are hidden by doing so, by using, like an RC sort of setup, like, with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And the other game I got to try out was called Chase Me. Now, the setup of this one is, it's four people are chasing one other person. Four people are holding, like, the Wiimotes, playing that way. And then you've got one guy with the tablet that shows the position of everybody and includes the map, so you know where to, like, try to avoid them. Then there was Shield Pose, which is, like, an arrow type of game, where you have pirates that shoot, like, arrows at you, but you gotta do it in rhythm. As in, like, alright, say, you basically gotta do it to the beat of the music. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people were having a great time with it. And then we saw what the system can bring in regards to HD. The Garden Tech demo and the Zelda high-definition version showed how much graphically better this is going to be than PS3 and Xbox 360. And they've already announced a bunch of games for Wii U, including Batman Arkham City, Metro Last Light, Darksiders 2, Aliens, Colonial Marines, Super Smash Bros., Pikmin 3, and various titles from EA Games, including Army of Two. Now, there's the release date is for late 2012 on this. Hopefully at either PAX East or at next year's E3, there'll be a lot more titles on the floor that'll showcase the true potential of the Wii U. And I cannot wait to get my hands on this title, or rather this console. You wanted me to mention this.
Yeah.
They have announced, and I saw the trailer for it, a new Hitman game. Yes. Hitman Absolution. It looks gorgeous.
Now how gorgeous?
Realistic. Think like the best looking CGI movie you've ever seen. And it looks that good. Think like motion capture. Think like, I don't want to say Beowulf, because while that was okay, and it had its issues, there really isn't a good way to describe how good looking this game is.
Yeah.
And from what I heard, the Hitman, do you remember the agent number?
Nope. It's been a while.
I think it was agent number 47. It's going to be more James Bond based, but it's going to have the Hitman elements to it.
I hope it doesn't go too James Bond, because I wasn't a fan of the James Bond games.
More like the movies, not the games itself.
We'll see.
Right. So, for the next few weeks, I'm going to be covering more on E3. I didn't have access to internet, so I couldn't do it on site or anything. So, you know, look out for that on B3, and I might do a couple of articles on Esh and on in an issue of the Electric System magazine. I've already decided on, there's a couple of titles I've discussed that I will be writing an article on for the magazine, not on the website. Okay, so let's move on. And let's talk about your buddies over at Contemporarily Out of Order.
Okay, so last night, me and the Doc, we went to see the show from Contemporary Out of Order. They're a Boston-based dance group that does contemporary hip-hop dance.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully,
this is the first show.
It was either the first or second, I can't remember exactly. But truthfully, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It literally took my breath away, and when we sat down and we looked at the lineup, it showed 19 different sets, and we're like, all right, let's see how this goes. And before we even knew it, it was over, and the time just flew by, because it flowed so perfectly, and the dancing literally pulled you in, that you were left sitting there. It's like, wow.
Yep.
All right, we all know me. It left me speechless. That's hard to do.
So what kind of songs did they play, or do you recognize any of the songs?
Oh yeah, they had, you know, Dashboard Confessionals,
they and Portishead.
Portishead, Wiz Khadafi, all of it. I mean, they mix between, you know, current and older stuff, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like each dance had a story behind it. And that's what I kind of liked about it. They brought props into it. It just wasn't like one of those dance things where they just go out and just do their thing.
Yeah.
They made you feel like you were there, you know. Whether it was bringing in chairs or tables or pillows and blankets for one of them. And just the storyline behind everything. And it seemed like the entire thing had, like, a theme of, like, acceptance and everything.
Right.
Because, I mean, you saw the nerdy kid and the jocks, you know, the jock-looking kind of people. And, you know, how he's trying to fit in and he gets, you know, the beautiful girl and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it seemed like everything was just acceptance. And, you know, I kind of liked that whole aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was very, very well put on. A lot of the choreography was done between Wendy O'Brien and Shayna Schwartz and just everybody else.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I can't name everybody, but we don't have enough time.
Yep.
But everybody did such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
That next time they put on a show, I'm probably going to be going.
They need a bigger venue, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the show that they put on literally deserves, you know, a big stage and, you know.
It was about like a 50-person theater, I think.
Something like that. And I actually feel, you know, they could get one of those 500-people theaters with a, you know, big stage and fill it.
Well, it would depend on who else that they'd be performing with, too.
Well, I mean, just them is what I'm saying. If, you know, they put on another show, I think they could do it.
How did the rest of the audience respond?
Oh, they loved
it.
They
loved the two, okay.
Right.
At the end, there was a standing ovation. It just went really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Like I said, I'd gladly go see him again.
Cool.
Yep.
And, yeah, so, I mean, good luck to everybody over Contemporary Out of Order. Can't wait to see you again, and great job.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be seeing a lot more of them soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be, you know, looking around for the next show, and maybe we can get the entire group out there.
Yep. Okay, so, should we move on to movies?
Sure.
So, you know, during the break, before I left for E3, in some way or form, the three of us, separately, because we couldn't really get a moment for all of us to get together, we saw The Hangover Part 2.
What? It happened again?
No.
Oh.
Yep, it happens.
Is that why I'm bald?
No, it's tattoo. Bald.
My beard's still here, though.
Wait, I have a tattoo on my face?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Am I missing my teeth?
Of course, nothing happens to the duck.
Nope. Yeah, because I'm Doug in this one.
No, you're the other dude. Nothing really happened to him.
Which one's the other dude?
I forget his name.
Oh, I'm Phil. Bradley Cooper. Okay, I'll take him.
I mean, you just got a really bad
hangover. Wait, wait a second. That makes perfect sense because Bradley Cooper knows French. Mm. You know French?
Okay. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a beard and bald head, so it works. And you kind of look like Ed Helms. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shape of the head.
Yeah. So this time they find themselves in Thailand, in Bangkok specifically. They find Mr. Chow in the room. Is that a mushroom?
I think it's a worm.
And a chain smoking monkey, which was awesome.
We love the monkey.
And
he likes the Rolling Stones.
And this time, the person that Stu is marrying, her younger brother Teddy is missing, so they gotta find him. And they find
his ring finger.
Yeah, his ring finger
with his Stanford ring on it. It's floating on a bucket of water.
Yep. How do we not talk about this without spoiling anything?
Oh, I think it's impossible.
Let's see.
No, it's impossible.
Well, I mean, we talk about what that happened, you know, with Mr. Chow and stuff like that. You know, bad things happen to him.
Yeah, bad things.
Wake up, you know, they don't know where Teddy is, and then, I have an idea. So what I think we should do is just tell our favorite part of the movie without spoiling it. Just like a little part of what happened, maybe.
It's kind of almost impossible, but we can try. But I'm going to throw one spoiler out there. Mr. Chow dies.
Yeah, Mr. Chow dies.
I had to.
Yeah, Mr. Chow dies. Get ready for a very great story.
Well, no. Wait. You're doing right. I need to take a hit.
Alright, well, I guess what I'll just say, because I agree with you guys, I don't want to ruin the movie for those who hasn't seen it, is mm-hmm. that I think the monkey, I was telling this to Anvil, the monkey should win an Oscar for his performance. Without saying what he does, I think the monkey was just brilliant, best, character in the movie. So I'm just impressed with that monkey, and, you know, I mean, if he doesn't win an Oscar, then, you know, this world's corrupt, so mm-hmm. that's all I got to say.
And, you know, I was surprised to see one of my favorite actors in this movie appear.
Who?
Paul Giamatti.
Oh, yeah. When he walked up, when I saw him, I'm like, oh, really? And then, what transpired with him, I'm like, what? All right. I do have to put this part out here. They call it Bangkok for a reason.
Yep.
Yep.
There are some things that should not be on the giant screen. I'm sorry.
And in Mr. Chow's case, the screen wasn't big enough.
Yeah. I wonder how Ken Jeong feels about being naked in both Hangover and Hangover Part 2.
You know he don't care.
He must have been like, okay, they've seen me already.
But I'll do it again.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't even have to pay me extra.
So... Now, from what we've heard, there is a little controversy going on with Hangover Part 2, specifically on Stu's tattoo, which is the same one that Mike Tyson got.
And the guy that actually gave it to Mike Tyson is suing the movie
right.
over trademark infringement.
Now, explain to them why this is bullshit.
All right, well, it's a Celtic design tattoo. And, well, Celtic tribal tattoo, which means... Basically, it could flow in any direction, really. So, unless this dude is from the 1600s, and he's Celtic and made the design all the way back then, I don't think he has a legit, case, unless he's trying to say putting it on the face the way it was is his trademark.
Right.
But I don't think he can hold a candle to it. He's just money hungry.
Yep. But... What I feel is that Mike Tyson himself gave the okay to use the tattoo for this movie.
Yeah.
And it was Tyson who came up with the idea for the tattoo. So, in my opinion, this guy has no case.
Yeah.
And if things happen where they will have to... digitally modified a tattoo on Holmes' face for the home DVD release, it's not going to look right.
Well, they already said they're going to do it, so...
No, but what I mean is, when you watch it on DVD, you're going to mm-hmm. know something is off. Like, you're going to tell. It's not like something that they use, like, motion capture with or anything like that. It's just going to look really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... I don't know what to say about that.
All right, well, let's get back to the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, alright, so Ed Helms, who plays Stu, gets a tattoo on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Galifianakis loses his hair.
Yep.
Everybody keeps their teeth.
Yep. They find a Buddhist monk. You find out what Alan's perception of life is. Like, everyone is like little kids or something.
I know, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Man, he's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Liv Tyler is still hot.
What?
That's
what's his name's wife?
What?
Jamie Chung, Lauren.
No, the one that's already married. Doug's wife.
Oh.
That's
Liv Tyler, isn't it?
I don't think so, is it?
Who is it?
Liv Tyler?
No, it's not Liv Tyler.
Crap. How come I thought it was?
No, it's Sasha Bress.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't she kind of look like Liv Tyler?
A little bit.
I guess a little bit. I don't know. I never...
I think in the movie she looked more like her. She's still hot. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that girl's very hot.
Even though she was like pregnant in the movie.
But, okay.
Oh, and never have your bachelor party at IHOP.
Right.
Yeah. Not very good.
All right. Gentlemen, time for the entertainment. Here's the old lady with the cantaloupe.
But yeah,
that would be funny.
Okay.
Oh,
Now, I do have an issue with the movie, though.
You do?
It was basically the same film as the first one.
Except it was in Bangkok, and it was a different person, and a lot more happened, I think.
Yeah, a lot more did happen, you're right.
But it was the same premise.
But
it has to be the same premise, because
it wouldn't be Hangover if it wasn't.
They have people recognize it as the same brand.
And it's more people to get married.
It's number one, so they have to have the same stuff.
This was in my Rolling Stone magazine. They said that there is an idea for a third Hangover Part 3, for Hangover Part 3. And it's going to involve Alan being in a mental institution and them breaking him out.
Saw that coming. Definitely saw that coming.
No, you didn't.
Alan in a mental institution? Really? We just talked about his perspective of them all as children.
Oh, right.
You saw him going nuts somewhere. But I actually thought they'd do number 3 and then number 4 he'd go nuts.
No, because because in retrospective, Alan's the only one that isn't, you know, that isn't married now.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So how are you going to do it in part 3? My opinion is, here's how they do it. Arranged marriage between Alan and another girl. Someone that Alan, you know, will probably not like. So he has himself institutionalized.
And then they break him out.
And then they break him out.
And then somehow they get drunk and they can't remember anything and...
Well, there will be drunkenness, but...
It has to be, because you can't call it hangover.
I think they should make s'mores instead of marshmallows.
I'll never eat a marshmallow again. I'm going to tell y'all that one.
Yeah.
But what I feel is like... Yeah, okay, I think I got it.
Uh-oh.
So the premise is that, you know, Alan drugs them again. So that's why... Then that's how he escapes and locks himself away in a mental institution.
I don't think so.
You don't?
Nope. Everybody's expecting Alan to drug him.
Hmm.
That's the monkey.
No, the monkey. The monkey, remember? I don't think he can come back from this.
Damn, okay.
Moment of silence. No burping during the moment of silence. Again.
Sorry, dude.
Do you not like the monkey?
No, I'm just gassy.
I mean, I'm not talking about Mr. Chow. I'm talking about the monkey.
So what would you guys rate the movie?
To be honest, while it was funny...
He's not going to give it what we're going to give it.
While it was funny, it wasn't as original as the first one. It had a lot of good moments in the film. Just all out, it was funny. But I felt like the formula was already used a bit too much.
No.
I feel that I can give this movie a 3.5 out of 5.
What?!
Because there's no way of topping the original Hangover. Yeah, just for its originality. No one's ever done it before. And the mystery was already taken out of the whole aspect of the second one.
So you knew where Teddy was? Did you know where Teddy was?
I kind of knew.
No, you didn't. You had no clue where Teddy was.
Well, no one knew where Doug was in the first one, so...
Yes.
But that's the whole premise. Oh...
I gave it a 5 out of 5. I've never laughed so much in my life. I mean, you had to have some of the, you know, same stuff go on because you're used to the first one and it's a brand name. If you changed it, I think, then people wouldn't even want to see it. Like, you have to have, you know, some certain things go on.
It's like a continuation.
Yeah, exactly. It's like continuation.
But there are good ways and there are bad ways to do continuations.
I like this one. Okay.
You want to fight? I felt like this continuation was a so-so.
Let's go. Let's fight.
But I'm not saying I didn't enjoy myself in this movie. I really enjoyed Hangover Part 2. But from a critical perception of it all, I feel like it doesn't warrant as big of a grade as the first one did.
Who?
Because there's nothing... There's no way you can top the first one.
See, you're looking at it as two parts. You're not taking the movie, clearing out your mind, and just taking that solo movie.
Forgetting you can't! You can't! In my opinion, I can't.
It's our job to be objective on that particular movie itself.
Right. But sometimes, in order to be objective, you need to compare it.
But also, other thing is, if you see a sequel from a movie, they're going to have a lot of the same parts anyways. You're having a sequel. You can't make it completely original from the first one because you're so used to seeing certain parts. So that's what I would say to that. I think, I don't know. That's my opinion. But
I mean, come on. They had a riot. Then cop cars were burnt. People were yelling, F the police. Come on.
But yeah, there are a couple other movies I can think of that did that. Spike Lee movies, for one.
In Bangkok, and, you know, Spike Lee doesn't count.
I'm sorry that he doesn't count to you.
We don't even know
what's Spike Lee done, argument. What's he done lately? Watch the Knicks? Lose? Really?
There was that that World War II movie that he made that was supposed to be really good.
Now, did you see that?
No.
That was excellent. You should see that. Very good.
I see. Never mind.
I know. I don't want to. We're not getting a whole argument with Spike Lee. We're talking about The Hangover 2, not Spike Lee.
That's why I decided to stop it right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Best part of the movie. I'm going to give it away. But I'm not going to say who does it. The singing at the end. Come on. Okay. Nobody saw that coming.
Well, I was kind of waiting for you-know-who to show up, so...
All right, we don't want to ruin it.
Right.
I went into the movie thinking that this person was going to show up, and then I'm like, probably not, and then it happened, and the way it happened, I'm like, no.
Right.
Horrible voice. Horrible voice. But it was hilarious. Because, you know, dude actually thought he was good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They should never put David Hasselhoff in another movie. I mean, too late to cut it.
But what was your grade for it?
I said 5.
All right, 5 and 3.5.
That puts you as like down to a 4.
Which isn't still bad.
Yeah, you know, it could have been, you know, 5.
Like I said, you gotta be objective in some cases.
You were too objective. You looked at number one and said, I like number one better than number two. Number two is painful.
Well, let's move on to Missy Q's review of Water for Elephants. And, well, I do want to see this movie. But, you know, the whole Robert Pattinson thing is a little turn off for me.
Okay. For Water for Elephants, it was about this guy, Jacob, who had... you know, parents that were foreign parents, and he was a very smart high school student, and, you know, he was taking a test to, you know, wanted to go to law school, but what happened was his parents suddenly died, and he ended up catching a train and working for the circus to be a vet.
Right.
So what happens is he falls in love with the boss's daughter, Ross's wife, sorry, and whose name was August, and the wife was Marlena, who was played by Reese Witherspoon. And then trouble ensues because August is always drunk. He's getting in fights with his wife Marlena. He's very also mean to Jacob. And but what happens is that Jacob ends up caring for these animals with Marlena, like an elephant. Elephant is an animal that they end up purchasing, and so anyways, I enjoyed the movie. I say it's a 4.5 out of 5. It was good. I thought there's parts that were a little bit slow, but I thought overall it did capture my attention, and it was interesting to learn about how animals behave and how to treat them. So
now, how was Christoph Waltz in this movie?
Oh, he was the typical, you know, just like he was in Inglourious Basterds. He was the guy that you just hate. You want to hate so badly, but that's his role. You know, that's the whole point of him. So I thought, as a bad guy, he's an incredible bad guy because he's someone that you just want to...
You want to hate him, but he's just so charismatic.
He's probably the nicest guy, you know, on the planet, too.
Yep. Probably.
Yeah, so... It was a good movie. I recommend seeing it. You know... But, like I said, there's a couple slow parts. You have to be able to, you know, work your way through those.
Okay. So, let's move on to X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Why don't you take the reins on this one?
Gia! Okay, man, I had to. So, I went and saw X-Men First Class.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I actually went with Doug to see it again.
Yep.
Movie was really, really good. Now, for those that don't understand, this is the ultimate prequel. This goes further back than any X-Men has ever gone. This is when Xavier and Magneto were still children, going by Charles Xavier and Eric Lindelof. Now, First, it starts off with our friend Eric being dragged into a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
And separated from his mother. You know, and they're screaming. He's trying to go in, the Nazis grab Eric, and he's actually used... This is when he first realizes that his what his powers are. Because he actually starts to move a fence. Until he gets knocked out, and you get introduced to the main villain, who's working with the Nazis at that point, played by Kevin Bacon. Yeah, did not see Kevin Bacon. Oh my god.
Yeah. This might actually help Kevin Bacon's career.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good career. But he hasn't done anything in a while.
Right.
I just gotta say something again. I do hate those Nazis. Okay.
Well, we're getting to something awesome for you.
Okay.
So, Kevin Bacon's trying to get, you know, Eric to move a coin. He can't do it. He doesn't understand his powers yet. So then finally he's like, I'm sorry, Eric. And he rings a bell. The Nazis bring in his mother. He asks his mom, they separate him. Kevin Bacon's character pulls out a gun. You have to count to three. Or she dies. Boy's trying. One. Still trying. Two. Aims the gun. Three. Bang! Shoots the mom. She did. He flips. And this is when he finds out everything comes from anger. Mm-hmm. And I'm going a little bit too much into this, but I think certain people in the room might actually like this part, so I have to.
Yeah.
He flips out, crushes a bell, crushes a thing. There's a... You go to the side, you see this really horrible looking exam room. I mean, this saws, this thing's that, you know, I don't even want to talk about in there. And he starts making things fly. And then the two Nazis are standing up, and they're wearing their metal helmets, and he crushes the helmets around their skulls.
Yes.
And then they die.
Nice.
Okay. Yes, I think it's like the best Nazi death since, you know, Inglourious Basterds when they blew his face off.
Yep.
And I told that to Duck, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you literally watch the things like start to fold in, like, and then they die. It's like,
nice. Yeah, it's a close second, you know, because it still doesn't beat, you know, seeing Hitler being shot up.
If they, you know, just shot Hitler in that movie and he died, this would be number one.
Vengeance.
But they blew him away.
Vengeance is mine. Okay, keep going.
Okay. So then, you know, Charles is in his room and he hears a noise downstairs and goes on down. And then his mother is in the kitchen. She's like, I didn't mean to wake you, in their weird little English voice. But I just came for a snack. When you go back to bed, I'll make you hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, who are you? You're not my mother. My mother's never been in the kitchen. And she's never made me hot cocoa. She makes some maize dinner. And all of a sudden it becomes our old friend, Mystique.
Yep.
So then they grow up and they do their thing, and he becomes, you know, a professor from Oxford. Yes, yes. Well, Eric's doing his little hunting down thing. They wind up meeting up. But basically, it's the fight between Xavier and Magneto over control. Because one wants it one way, one wants the other. In the end, it actually explains how Xavier came to be paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
How Magneto got to where he is, and why Mystique is where she is. And there's some characters that we still don't know who they are. It explains how Beast came to be, and everything. So, I mean, it's a truly good movie. You know, there's still parts that, you know, if you don't remember the timelines in it, because, you know, it starts off in the 1940s with World War II, but then goes up into the 1960s. So you have to understand how it was in the 1960s as well. So, all in all, really good movie. One of the better prequels I've seen in a long time. I like the coin trick. I don't know what the Duck thinks about the coin trick.
It was interesting seeing that.
Yeah.
It was like a pencil trick, but in slow motion.
A little bit cooler, though. Especially when it came out at the back.
Yep.
But we're not going to give too much on that one. I'll actually give this 4.7.
Because
it left a little wiggle room where they could have added a little bit more.
Yep. I'll be close to your score for this one. I think I could go with the 4.4 out of 5 for this.
Okay.
Like, okay, definitely one of the better prequels I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
close to the best. But still not the best superhero movie I've ever seen. Of course.
Now, this actually gives us an idea of where Cyclops comes from.
Yep.
And who his father was.
Uh-huh.
It shows us a brief second of Storm.
Yep.
Like, that much. And greatest cameo ever, Wolverine.
Yep.
All right, I need to explain this scene.
Well, oh, no, I'm Professor Xavier. Go fuck yourself.
Well, no, you gotta do it right. You gotta do it right. It starts off with a bar. Guy grabs a cigar and takes a, you know, a puff. All of a sudden, hello, I'm Charles Xavier. I'm Eric Lindstrom.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. They turn to walk away. He looks back. Finishes whiskey. Asks for another one. That's the entire Wolverine scene.
Yep.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because the three, you know, X-Men movies I've loved, each one, you think each one better than the most? Is this one better? Is the prequel better than the three?
It's not better.
Not better, but...
But it's up there.
Okay.
And it explains everything. Especially, like, you know, things that we wanted to know when we were younger. Like, why is he, how did he get into this wheelchair?
Uh-huh.
Now we know why. I'm not going to ruin it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people might want to see it and you might want to see it.
I want to see it, yeah.
So right. We're not going to ruin all this stuff for you.
Yeah.
But it's a really good movie. Now we know how Magneto gets his helmet.
Yep.
And, you know, that's kind of cool. And actually, the sad part is, I actually thought one of the characters was going to be in Juggernaut because of a helmet.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was wrong. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to end it with that.
Okay, and then we have another review from you, Mr. Q's. Okay. The new Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, I saw the Woody Allen movie Midnight in Paris, which is a romantic comedy. And in the movie, there is Gil, who is played by Owen Wilson. And then Inez, which is his fiance, which is played by Rachel McAdams. And basically, they go to Paris on a trip, and they see Inez's... you know, parents and stuff like that. And basically, Gil, he doesn't like his parents very well. They don't like him very well. So, you know, they want to go out with him. They want to hang out with him and stuff like that. And he basically doesn't want to. So, he just kind of is like walking around Paris. He kind of gets lost. Doesn't know what to do. And after the clock strikes midnight, he a carriage pulls up and they tell him to get in. He doesn't know who it is. He gets in and they have all these, like, you know, fictional names of characters from like the 1900s, like Mark Twain. And he ends up having fun. They go to parties. They hang out. He meets all these interesting people. You know, he meets this French girl he really likes and stuff like that. So basically, he has an amazing time. He does not want to, and he also wants to live in the past rather than the present. He loves all the, you know, the life of like the 1920s and 30s and stuff like that. And he really does not get along well with his fiance. He's also a struggling writer and, you know, he's trying to get new ideas. But when he kind of walks around, he gets new ideas of what to write about his book. So I don't want to ruin the movie. I really liked it. I would say I give it a 4.8 out of 5. The reason I'm not giving it a 5 out of 5 is because I was not impressed with Rachel McAdams. I did not think she did a good job in the movie. Yeah. I thought that Owen Wilson did a good job. You know, he was just kind of all over the place. But she was just kind of the annoying fiance. But she really did not have any depth to her character. So that's the reason why I gave it a 4.8. But I thought, you know, the movie kind of, my emotions were changing from good to bad to sad to happy. And I kind of liked the way that my emotions were churned because I usually do not like romantic comedies, but there's a lot of comedy mixed in. I thought Woody Allen did a good job with that. A lot of tense moments. And it was just interesting to see a movie that took place in present day, but they made it seem like it was from the, you know, early 1900s. So that's my opinion of that. So I do recommend it. Just get ready to see Rachel McAdams have a poor performance. But other than that, I think you'd like it. So.
Now, did you ever see a movie called Whatever Works? It was another Woody Allen movie with Larry David and Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
What were your thoughts on that movie? Because that was the first movie that I ever reviewed on the show.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought that was very good as well. I thought that Evan Woods did a great job in the movie. I hadn't really seen her in many other movies before, and I thought she really took on a great role. It was a tough role,
right?
You know, because she got to know Larry David, who
right.
you know, was
Boris.
Older and stuff like that. Boris, yes. And he was kind of weird at first, but she got to know him, and she really got to enjoy
his,
you know,
company.
His company, exactly.
And then the parents come, and they wind up being a little bit wacky.
His mom is a little weird, I agree. So, yeah.
Is it, what are you at this senior thing with all this pornography? Oh, wait till he finds out who's the pornographer.
Well, I actually have two movies that aren't on the list that I want to throw out there. I know I discussed them with you,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of forgot to throw them on there. I'm just going to do them real quick.
Okay.
First, Just Go With It, the Adam Sandler movie with Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
Okay.
From start to finish, it is one of the weirdest, funniest movies. And there's like some of those romantic scenes to it as well. But it worked well together. And basically the whole premise of the movie is Adam Sandler plays Danny. He gets stood up at his wedding kind of thing because she's only marrying him because he's going to be a cardiologist and starts, like, making fun of him because he has a giant schnauzer. And he's at a bar and this really hot woman comes in and everybody's hitting on her and she sits down and drops her purse and he goes to say something. She's like, can't I just sit down for 1 second while being hit on? He's like, I was just telling you that, you know, you dropped your purse and she sees the ring. She's like, oh, you're married, blah, blah, blah. And he comes up with, like, the ultimate lie that, you know, she's on, you know, crack and this, and they have like 14 kids and stuff, and woman wants to leave him with them, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he becomes instead of a cardiologist, becomes a plastic surgeon, gets rid of the nose, and literally uses a wedding ring to get women.
Was Brooklyn Decker in that movie as well?
Yes.
Okay, I saw that. Yeah, that was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all really I have to
hard.
Say.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the ending, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? I want Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that was a funny movie. When did you see that?
I actually got it from Redbox this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I give it 2 thumbs up. 4.5 out of 5. And then River of Darkness. It's a WWE presentation. It sounded really awesome. Kurt Angle is the sheriff. The trailer looked awesome. That I saw, I like showed him with an M4 and commando clothing. Like, yes. Well, he never puts on commando clothing. He never gets an M4. He has a sniper rifle, 12-gauge shotgun, and dresses like a sheriff.
Yes.
See, I mean, that front picture makes you think, you know, commando, right?
Yes.
That's not, and now that's in that movie.
It looks like his head was photoshopped on this thing.
Kind of looks like it, yeah. So, I'm sitting there, and for the first 3 seconds, I'm like, this movie's going to suck. The bad guys, two of them are wrestlers, Kevin Nash and Psycho Sid Vicious. Let's just say, this is the worst movie I have ever seen. I know me and the Duck got into a debate about it. It beats the movie that he said. And let's just say, I'm going to give this a double negative zero.
Double negative zero. Wow.
I've never seen a movie that badly in my entire life that it worth a double. You know, I've never seen anything in my entire life worth a double negative.
I still look
for the trailer so you can see what it looks like.
I'll look at it later.
Yes. Because we don't want you throwing up during the show.
Wait, did you get through the whole movie because you didn't like it very much?
Or? I did watch the entire movie just for the premise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've given a full review and it was an hour and 24 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even hit the hour and a half mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it made it seem like it was going to be different. And the whole movie basically ended because of a sacrifice. I'm like, really? I'm like, so much for that action hero kind of thing that you were kind of hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much action. Like I said,
screw it.
Double negative zero. Don't see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
If this movie comes across your table, throw it out. Throw it out the window. Give it away as a gift to somebody that you truly hate.
Use it as a frisbee.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would rather watch anything else but this.
Okay. Now, we're kind of running short on time, but I know there's at least one thing in sports that you really want to talk about.
Yes, yes. This is a huge thing that I do want to cover. Yesterday, me and the Duck, we went down to the Tapo Gym in Boston on Canal Street for Cage Titans Fight Club's, or Cage Titan FC's, media day. It was a great time. We got to meet a lot of great people. And you'll see a lot of good stuff, but while we were there, we met one of the fighters, Davis Rose. He's an amateur, he's 1-0, and he's going to be fighting at Vendetta 25, the 25th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
We will be giving all the information on that event so you can, go to it. And he's donating his entire purse, which is the money that he earns from fighting, to the Travis Rory Foundation. We actually got to meet one of his best friends, who is actually currently paralyzed due to a neurological, disease. And he works for the Travis Rory Foundation, and that's why he's doing this. It's a great cause. And while we were there, we actually got a chance to meet Travis Rory.
Yep.
Which was really, really cool. So please, everybody, take the information we give you, or just go on to cagetitanfc.com, buy a ticket to the event. Because, the more people that go to the event, the more money goes to this great organization. I look forward to working with Cage Titan in the future.
Yep.
Best of luck to all the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, Davis is doing a great job. And, I have a lot of respect for people, that do that. If you are willing to, go out there and fight and give all your money to charity, especially something, as good as the Travis Rory Foundation, why not?
Yep.
So, good luck to everybody. Check out cagetitanfc.com, and we'll also have the information up soon. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So, should we wrap up the show here?
Yeah.
All right. You all set with that, Mr. Cuse?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because we talked a lot, and we're kind of tired.
Yeah.
Okay, so remember, visit our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any comments, questions, if there's anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/pages/Boston-Bastard-Brigade.
Or just go into Facebook and go into the, search bar, just type in Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yep. We also have the Facebook group. We have the MySpace at myspace.com/Boston Bastard Brigade. And I think that's about it for my turn and the turn that Blawanek usually does.
Just check out the Land of Ash, Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro. Check out, the Issues Guy. Check out our friends at Gamer Reaction. Hey, just have fun with it.
All right. Anything else we should add before we go?
Oh, and check out our friends with the Vagabonds.
All right. Anything you want to add, Mr. Cuse?
I think I will be posting some blogs. I have one blog I'm going to put up pretty soon, hopefully posting more. So I'll let you know once that's up and once I have up and running.
Okay, cool. Terrific. Alright, and that should be it. Yep. Hopefully, Blawanek will be able to join us next week.
Yep.
Yeah, double shifts suck. I can't really picture anyone really doing that. You hate him?
Yep.
Yeah.
I try not to do it.
Understandable. Okay, so, until next time, this is Baby Duck.
Thank you. This is Andrew.
Saying sign our pages.
We are the Bastards.